Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Rob, when did you start reading the updates on Sensual?
What do you know? Back to the show. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the radio.com app. Let's head to the phone lines right now to catch up with our next guest. Ooh, I love it when he wears flannel and plaid. His name is Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride. Pete, how you doing, my man?
You got me feeling some kind of way with
You've never been introduced quite like how I just introduced you.
When Sean is away, the seat out will play, it seems like.
Right now we're talking to the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney, joining us on The Drive. Pete, let's start with this very open-ended question. What did you make of Chris Jones back and forth on Twitter yesterday where he somewhat insinuated that he wouldn't show up unless he got a long-term deal?
Yeah, it was interesting. The first domino to drop was the Mike Garofalo report, which – to me, confirmed everything we had been thinking for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it felt like a little bit of an elephant in the room that nobody really wanted to say, and he essentially broke it down for what it is and what we all thought, right? It was the fact that Chris Jones thinks he's $20 million per year, and the Chiefs, frankly, don't. He said it plain as day. And Chris Jones, seeing it, of course, it was very harsh. It was very direct. It was very clear. The Chiefs don't see you like you see yourself. I'd imagine I'd react in a similar way. Well, if that's the case, then I don't really want to play for you guys. He doesn't have that option. And so I think what surprised me the most about the tweet, though, was, and you could tell me if you agree with me or not, but it felt like one of those tweets that you check back in an hour and it was going to be deleted because this thing blew up, he was upset, and so many news outlets, including arrowheadpride.com, myself, I wrote an article about 9:30 last night, and we put it up, and I even, at the time, I'll tell you the truth, I screen grabbed it because I figured this is something that would quickly be deleted. As of the last time I checked, it's still up. So this is something that his agent supports, his representatives support. He wants it out there, and I think this is the beginning of what will probably be 2 weeks of posturing. I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you would hope that this would be happening a little bit more behind the scenes, but you could see what 13, 14 months of disagreement has turned into.
I don't even know how much of a disagreement it is. To me, it seems like the Chiefs have taken a pretty hard stance, and Chris Jones just doesn't accept said stance. So from the information we got from Mike Garofalo of NFL Network, if the Chiefs aren't willing to give him $20 million a year, which he would get on the open market, then they're not serious about signing Chris Jones. And I think his frustration is, I've done everything that I'm supposed to do to get this money, yet you guys won't give it to me, and yet you give it to basically everybody else around me. I understand why he's frustrated, but to me, the Chiefs have clearly communicated, you're not part of our long-term plan.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I've always said when it came to this type of thing is that the Chiefs wanted to sign Chris Jones long-term. They would have signed Chris Jones long-term. They've had a number of opportunities. They could have done it last offseason, kept their pick, and not traded for Frank Clark. They value the defensive end position a little bit more. They obviously don't see Jones as being the long-term defensive tackle solution for this team. I know it drives a lot of fans crazy because he's a great guy. He's upstanding. He answers all of our questions. He's very honest. And he went on a limb even last year. I remember something that sticks out, and just was pure honesty. He was upset that there wasn't a ton of fan support at the Vikings game, and he was willing to say that. And I respect him as a player and how he deals with the media, and he's been really a passionate guy for the Kansas City Chiefs, one of the most passionate guys we had in a very long time. So there's a lot of layers to this thing, but I think you're along the right path in saying, well, the Chiefs haven't wanted to pay them this. You got to think that they explored a trade and they haven't really been able to come up with anything. It's easy to say, okay, we're going to give a quarterback all this money through what is a pandemic and a lot of uncertainty, but I bet it's hard to find a training partner for the defensive tackle position, at least right now, for that much money when there is so much uncertainty. So what is happening here, essentially, is the Chiefs and Chris Jones are stuck with each other, and they're unhappy with what each other wants as far as compensation.
Right now, we're talking to the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney, joining us on the show to talk about the latest with Chris Jones. I led the show with it. I don't think that Jones has the leverage that he thinks to get paid. He basically has two options. It's either shut up and come to work, like most of us do, or not make any money this year. Because you're right, given everything that's going on, there's no reason to trade Chris Jones this season. Unless he's dead set on, I am not playing for the Kansas City Chiefs this year, the same way that Clowney was last year for the Texans. I just don't know what motivation the Chiefs would have to trade him at this point. Like, there isn't any value or compensation you can get for this upcoming season to make it worth it for you if you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you feel you got the best roster in the NFL. So I just don't know what leverage he has in this situation.
Yeah, the Chiefs have his rights. And to me, and this is a young player, I mean, this isn't one of those Carson Palmer situations where he doesn't want to play and he's just going to retire and wait and wait and wait for years and years. Jones can't afford to do that. He hasn't had his big contract yet. I think the move that I would make if I were Jones is to say, all right, this is incredibly frustrating. I clearly am not happy, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sign this franchise tender. I'm going to come to work, make this another contract year, and really go out on a limb and prove them wrong. Right now, by holding out any period of time, I think he really is hurting only himself. And not to say that, okay, he doesn't deserve the money, it's just the way the system is set up. I mean, you could argue all day whether or not that's fair to Chris Jones. It probably leans on the side of isn't being fair to Chris Jones, but the best possible thing he could do for his own career right now is to sign that deal. And listen, $16.1 million is not a bad consolation prize, considering you know, you've made about $6 or $7 million in your entire career combined. So you get that in one swoop in 2020. And if you show up on time, I think it gives you a better chance to get around the 15.5 sack number that he was able to accomplish 2 years back, maybe somewhere along similar lines when it comes to pressures to at least convince maybe another team to give you that type of Aaron Donald, that type of DeForest Buckner type of money, because I think the Kansas City Chiefs have made it abundantly clear that it isn't coming in this city.
We're talking to Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride for a couple more minutes. Let's hop in our DeLorean and go back in time. Do you think that the Chiefs made the right decision to pay Frank Clark instead of paying Chris Jones?
That is a question I think we need more information for right now. Through what was last year and the beginning of last year, it scares you a little bit because of some of the injuries that Frank Clark was dealing with. They were hidden. He wasn't the same player at all. And he was able to turn it around in the second half of the season and in the playoffs. Who's to say that that doesn't necessarily happen again? And I don't want to assume anything, but that's just not a good sign for me. I looking back just and knowing that he went through that many games where there was something seriously wrong with his body for him to be the type of player that he was in Seattle, I would lean towards I kind of wish that the Chiefs maybe would have kept that pick and signed Jones to more money, but he just may not fit in the plans. Like I think about it this way. Is it more of a position thing where he's just not the guy that they want to devote their money to? Is this the type of situation or scenario where Steve Spagnuolo feels more comfortable going after an elite edge rusher as opposed to someone in the middle? And there, I think, are different layers in that to it as well. So I guess if I had to pick, I think right now I'd lean on I think I'd rather them sign Jones. But Frank Clark could have a completely healthy year next year, and that injury that we worried about in 2019, at the beginning of 2019, could be long gone, and then it might look like the Chiefs made the right move, especially considering they did win the Super Bowl.
Pete, I'm curious to get your thought on Cam Newton. What was your reaction to him signing with the New England Patriots? And assuming that you have the Chiefs and the Ravens as 1-2 in the AFC, what team would you put at 3? And do you think it's now the Patriots because they signed Cam?
I don't think it's the New England Patriots quite yet. There are a couple other teams I think that I like. I want to see how this thing plays out. No one wants to talk about it because no one wants to look stupid again, but the Cleveland Browns, if this new management can finally be the management that they've been looking for 2 decades, and then Baker Mayfield can play like he did in some of those games, I understand that there's a lot of if, but just purely on paper, they're one of those teams I think that you look at. Chris Ballard and what he's building in Indianapolis, if Phillip Rivers still has something left in the tank, they're another team that feels a little bit more complete than the New England Patriots. I think what's been most interesting about the deal is that it took this long, and from everybody, all the newsbreakers and on NFL Network and the guys that are really talking to these agents each and every day and are trusted by them, it really feels like the New England Patriots were the only option for Cam Newton. And sometimes when we're out of that world and not hearing what all the coaches and agents are talking about, is there more to this story, or is it everyone overlooking the fact that Cam Newton still has something left in the tank? I look at the Patriots right now, C-Dot, and I wrote this on my website. To me, their number one option is still Julian Edelman, who's obviously on the older end of things. If I look at Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, and then you could name maybe 2-3 other players, you can make a case that they're all better options to have the ball in their hands than Julian Edelman. I like the offensive line for the New England Patriots, but Cam Newton is just not enough to tip the scale to make me think that they're a true threat to the Kansas City Chiefs.
That is my guy, Pete Sweeney. He is the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, the best Chiefs website on all of the interwebs. Pete, always good talking to you, my man. Happy holiday.
All right, see that. Let's get more of that talk at the top of the next hour as well.
Pete, I hope you have a fantastic day.
All right, man.
That is Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride. Coming up, breaking news in the NFL. The 2020 preseason has been cut in half. We'll give you that reaction coming up next. And the NFL is talking about having fans sign a coronavirus waiver to attend games. It's not that serious. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. I want to share 2 stories with you regarding the NFL. The first story is about the NFL preseason. So a couple of weeks ago, the NFL Hall of Fame game was canceled. That was to be expected. That's a 5th preseason game for 2 teams in the NFL. That was a no-brainer. It has now been agreed upon, according to Pro Football Talk, that the preseason is going to be cut in half and reduced to 2 games. This is what I thought the likely outcome was going to be. We all know the NFL, like most major businesses, loves that money, and they were not going to go from 4-0. They'll go from 4-2. Hey, we get a home game, you get a home game. But I didn't think it was realistic to think that the preseason, at least now, was going to be canceled in its entirety. If the NFL is talking about business as usual and trying to play football games, and we'll figure out if fans are going to be there, they were not just going to give up preseason revenue, not all of it at least. So according to Pro Football Talk, it would appear that the NFL preseason has been reduced from 4 games to 2. What I would like to get into, and we can even open up the phone lines on this, 913-576-7610. Text line always open, 913-576-7610. And Rob, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. So this is from TheAthletic.com and Daniel Kaplan. The NFL is considering requiring fans attending games this season to sign liability waivers, shielding the team from COVID-19 lawsuits, sources say. The waiver proposal is likely to be forwarded to clubs by the middle of next week as part of a broad range of league-recommended best practices for reopening stadiums amid the coronavirus pandemic. Quote, It is probably something you do electronically, just trying to figure out the operational challenges associated with waivers. This is from the NFL Senior VP of Security. Quote, just have to work out how best to do that. I say this as someone whose livelihood comes from talking about sports. It's that serious to go to these games? I'm asking honestly. I understand that some of you, one of your favorite activities, if not your favorite activity, is to go to Arrowhead or to go to Kauffman and have the time to tailgate and walk through the parking lots and the smell and the music and the interaction with those around you and the celebration of football and going to the games. And it's not something that you can replicate at home. But we're talking about the billion-dollar company removing themselves from all liability from you going to the games in a place that you know the virus is going to be. Like, it's not like we're questioning that the virus is going to be present at these games, right? Like, we know if you got 30 or 40,000 people coughing, spitting, sneezing, yelling, talking around each other, the Rona spread is going to be around. It is not too far around the corner. It's that serious to go to games that you would sign this waiver? I don't feel that way. You know my stance on this. I am not interested in going to any situation where I got to be around a lot of people I don't know until there's a vaccine. And maybe there isn't a vaccine. I got to make that decision here in the next year or so. But right now, as I sit on July 1, I got no interest. I'm not signing a waiver because I ain't going out there. Some of you, I imagine, would sign this waiver. And that's crazy to me. I'm serious. That's crazy to me. I understand that we're adults and we all got to make our decisions, but the hold that the NFL has over the American public is something that people should do a documentary on. This is wild to me that this is even an idea pitched by the NFL. And I want to hear from you guys. 913-576-7610. Rob, a lot of people would sign this waiver. Think about it. If there's 80,000 seat capacity, and let's say tomorrow they announce, hey, we're not going to be at 80,000. That's not realistic. But let's figure out a plan that we can operate at 40% capacity. But the only way you can come into Arrowhead is if you sign this waiver, which shields us from any liability of you catching the virus in our presence. I imagine a lot of people would sign that. I just don't want to go to the game that bad, especially when the game is on television. It's not like I got to make the decision, hey, I can't see the game at all. I got CBS. I got Fox. I got the Red Zone channel. I got Sunday Ticket. I can watch the Chiefs game in the comfort of my own home with all the hand sanitizers and masks that I need. This is wild to me that the NFL is pitching this. It's even wilder that I think a lot of people would sign this.
If we're at the point where we are discussing fans signing a waiver to come into the game because their safety might be at risk to come into the game, why are they being allowed to come into the game at all? If it is so dangerous and such a liability, and we're so aware that there's a pretty good chance if we bring in 40 or 50 or 35,000 people into this stadium, even when doing our best with social distancing, someone's going to catch it, and that some person, it could be more like, you know, 10, 15, 20 people as opposed to just one, then why are we discussing fans of the game? I love sports. Do you love sports? People listening to this show love sports. Sports are better with fans. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm 100% aware of this. But if our two possible situations are, A, we get fans, but they have to sign this waiver that protects the billion-dollar company against a fan who spent money to go in and get the coronavirus, or B, the billion-dollar company unfortunately has to take it in the teeth one season until it's safe for fans to come in, but in that one season they don't get fans? The answer is obvious to me. If we are considering offering waivers, we should then seriously reconsider the idea of fans at all in the stands.
Text line 69306, CDOT, I put myself at risk every day to go to work, so yep, I'll sign the waiver in a heartbeat. Listen to what you just said. To go to work. You got to work to live, right? Like, you got bills to pay. When the mortgage man asks for your money, you can't be like, oh, well, I was afraid to go to work. when the car payment man calls, you got to have some money for him. He's going to repossess your car, right? That isn't what going to the game is. I thought that was a leisure activity. That's what I thought it was, a leisure activity. I wouldn't be out there. But I'm not here telling people what to do with their lives. I'm just saying that sounds wild to me that you would sign this waiver to go to the game. And this is the weird part to me about this whole conversation. So text line text line 913-576-7610. Jesus, the new survival rate is 99.5 for all ages based on the new numbers. What are we scared of? Now, what we've done to the coronavirus is completely move the goalpost. It's now, well, you didn't die. What? What about all the other side effects that come from you getting the coronavirus? That's the only measure? Now, if you die? That's crazy. Come on now. We can acknowledge that that logic is crazy. Well, it doesn't matter if you get it because you'll live. I don't want it. I don't want it. I have no interest in trying to acquire it. I'm not looking for it. I'm trying to stay as far away from this as possible. Ultimately, I think people will have the choice if they want to go to these games or not. And it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what Dr. Fauci thinks. People have to make that decision for themselves. Do you want to go to the game? But to me, them requiring you to sign this waiver before you go to the game should tell you that it's not safe for you to go to the game. They weren't making you sign this waiver any other time you went to the game. I've been to Chiefs games before. They've never said, hey, you can't come in here unless you sign this. It always was, does your ticket work? That's always what it was. Does your ticket scan? And if your ticket scan, they let you in. Unless you was wilding. But they let you in. It never was, you got to buy a ticket. And now you have to sign this waiver for you to come in. That to me is the definition of doing too much. Like, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe I shouldn't be going in this game. So I wouldn't be signing this waiver. I have zero interest in going to these games. Someone said it's because you're not a Chiefs fan. I'm not interested in going to Mizzou games. I'm not interested in going to KU games, K-State games. I'm not interested in it. I'm certainly not signing a waiver to go to these games. But according to The Athletic, the NFL is considering fans attending games this season to sign liability waivers, shielding teams from COVID-19 lawsuits. The waiver proposal is likely to be forwarded to clubs by the middle of next week as part of a broad range of a league-recommended best practices for reopening stadiums amid the coronavirus pandemic. I don't even know why this has to be proposed to the league. You know the teams want you to sign it. It's not like you got to convince the Miami Dolphins, hey, you know what you guys should maybe do? Have people sign this waiver so you're not liable. Quote, it's probably something you would do electronically, just trying to figure out the operational challenges associated with the waivers. We can keep this conversation going because I do want to hear from fans. 913-576-7610. But signing this waiver sounds absolutely nuts to me. And I am telling you, going to the Chiefs game is never that important. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and 610sports.com.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. I am getting crushed on the text line. Sometimes it is just your turn. We were talking about The Athletic, and they are reporting a story that the NFL is considering requiring fans to sign a liability waiver this season to be able to attend games. That sounds absolutely nuts to me. A lot of you want to go to the games and sign this waiver. Have at it. I don't want nothing to do with it. You can call up if you'd like to. We can talk about it. 913-576-7610. Would you sign this waiver to be able to go out to Arrowhead this season? I imagine that the owners are going to be for it. I don't know what the Players Association would do, but I imagine that the owners are certainly going to want to push for this waiver to be signed in order for fans to be able to attend Arrowhead or various NFL stadiums around the country. Again, if you want to talk about that, Rob, you can answer the phones if you want. We'll take some phone calls on at 913-576-7610. Before we go to the phone lines, let's talk a little bit more about Chris Jones. This is the big difference to me in the situation between Chris Jones and Le'Veon Bell. Because he referenced Le'Veon Bell and, hey, Le'Veon told me about this. Well, you got to get the full story here, Chris Jones. What Le'Veon Bell did was somewhat noble. I'll give Le'Veon that. Le'Veon took a stance of, hey, I know my worth. I'm not going to play for what less than my worth is. And I'm willing to assume the risk and the consequence for not playing. I respect anybody that does that. Hey, I can make a lot of money, but that ain't what I should be making. And if you don't pay me what I should be making, I'm not showing up to whatever you're asking me to do. I respect it. Did he play it right from a business side? No. But I respect the thought of what Le'Veon Bell did. But it's also fair to tell the whole story of Le'Veon Bell, and this is why I think Chris Jones is off in trying to compare himself to Le'Veon. Le'Veon did this on his second franchise tag, not the first one. Chris Jones is trying to do this on his first franchise tag. So Le'Veon, like Chris Jones, played out his rookie deal. He then was looking for a new deal from his employer, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were not interested in signing him to a long-term deal. So he then signed a franchise tag, which guaranteed him $12 million. So he was mad he didn't get the deal. But then that first year, he accepted less than what he felt his worth was. He then got mad in the second year that they didn't come to an agreement. And then using the money that he got from the first one, he was good and set enough to then hold out. That's a different situation than what Chris Jones is in. If we were talking year two Chris Jones, I would take him holding out and not playing this season a lot more serious because we have the example of it with Le'Veon Bell. So if Chris Jones played this season in 2020, went out there, balled out. Let's say he had a year he had back in 2018 where he had his 20 sacks. He was the best defensive lineman in the NFL, second best behind Aaron Donald, whatever category you want to put him into. And then he couldn't come to an agreement with the Chiefs and they wouldn't trade him and they were still offering him $18 million. Then I'd be on his side. Yo, this is messed up. You've done everything. I'd be demanding a trade or I wouldn't play for that team. But you've already put that money in your pocket. You haven't put that type of money in your pocket yet. You made $6 million on a second round contract. You haven't made enough to say, I'm not working this year. Maybe he has done some things behind the scenes with his money that I don't know about. And he's so financially set, he said, I can have zero income this year. I don't know if that's the case, man. Not on the money that you got, with I imagine the responsibilities that he has. And taking care of yourself and maintaining the lifestyle that you've already created, especially when in a matrix situation, the blue pill is $0 and the red pill is $16 million and more money than you've ever seen. Chris Jones has the opportunity this offseason to sign for more money than he's made in his entire life combined. Not many people walk away from that. Not many people say, no, I'm not going. So I don't really think he has a choice, but I don't think it's right for anyone, or especially Chris Jones, to compare his situation to Le'Veon Bell's. Le'Veon didn't follow his own advice at first. He played under the franchise tag. He just didn't want to do it twice. That's what makes it very different than the Chris Jones situation. Phone line 913-576-7610. Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris, you called into the drive. Go ahead, Chris.
Guys, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Not too bad, not too bad. So, before I get into this, I just want to prefix this with I truly do believe in COVID, so don't think I'm one of those wackos that thinks COVID doesn't exist, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. I'm one of those guys that would be willing to sign that waiver, and I'll explain why. It is only proven right now that N95 masks are the only ones that can combat this, unless you want to go above and beyond and get all types of biohazard headgear. Look, I get that too. I'm specifically talking about these cloth masks, these surgeon masks, these masks you find on Facebook that people are trying to make stylish now. Those don't work. Those are not let me back up. Those are not proven to work. So if perception becomes reality and we all expect each other to look at one another with a mask on just so we feel safe, to be honest with you, if the Food and Drug Administration, if CDC knew for a fact those masks would work, they would tell us that. And then everybody would be wearing these masks. The fact of the matter is...
But, Chris, my question would be to you, though, is at the game...
So why wear them?
Yeah, but I mean, but my question would be is at the game, and you've been to Chiefs games, too, do you expect 35,000 people, 40,000 people to comfortably watch a football game, yell and cheer the way that you've come used to, and wear this mask at the same time? Like, that doesn't seem realistic to me.
Well, hold on. What mask are you talking about? The N95?
Any mask. I don't care what... Bane's mask. Do you expect that many people to follow this?
Well, if you want to watch a game and you want to get into the stadium and you want to be able to protect yourself, those individuals that have half a brain, yeah, I would expect them to have N95s on, because in my world, perception's not reality. Reality is reality. And until I'm told that these cloth masks will provenly stop this virus of spreading, then I'm on board. Sure, the problem is, try going on Amazon and finding an N95 right now. And if you do, let me know how much it costs, because it ain't realistic. That's why the CDC will not come out and say these masks will work, as in the cloth ones, because they know damn well it will not. Sorry, it will not work. So that's just all I got to say. I just don't want people to walk around thinking perception's reality, because in all honesty, we're not safe until we get an N95, but you just can't get a hold of them, and that's what sucks.
No, that makes sense, and I appreciate the phone call here. We all have been to Arrowhead. And I hear what Chris is saying. If everybody was wearing this CDC-approved mask, things would be great. We know going into Arrowhead, everyone's not going to have that mask. And some people are going to be wearing the little flimsy mask. And I thought so myself. Like, this little piece of fabric is supposed to save me from the Rona? Like, I don't know about this. Like, I ain't a scientist. They're telling me to wear this, but I don't know if this is saving me. We all have been to Chiefs games. We expect all of those people to practice safe social distancing habits and all wear the mask at the same time and comfortably watch the Chiefs game. You're telling me on a pivotal third down against the you fill in the blank team, everybody's now following all these rules at the same time when they know they've signed the waiver? Just doesn't seem realistic to me. Now, I would understand the logic of when you go into the stadium, you assume some sort of risk. Kind of like what happens at baseball games. On the back of your ticket, it says, hey, if you get hit with the baseball, you know that's the case. But I would say, I'm not sitting in those seats. I'm not sitting in the seats where I can get hit with the baseball. I came to watch the game, not be a part of the game. I'm not bringing my glove. I'm not sitting in any of those seats. I don't care about catching a foul ball. I'll go buy one from the gift shop. I don't want to catch a foul ball. I want to sit where the foul balls aren't coming up here. Or if one comes up here, it's a miracle. I wouldn't sign this waiver. I imagine a lot of you would for various different reasons. And I'm not here telling any adult how they got to live their life. I'm not. If you want to go to the Chiefs game, cool. I just want to ask, why is it that important? That's my question. Chiefs ain't going nowhere. Mahomes is about to sign the richest contract in the history of the NFL. You'll have other opportunities to see Patrick Mahomes. I'll help you if it's that big of a deal. I'll help you. It ain't that serious. So I just wouldn't want to go. No interest in going to the game. And the fact that they would require you to sign this should tell you they know you shouldn't be at the game. Because they've never asked you to do this before. I keep hearing this isn't the flu or there's all these other things. They never ask you to do this at any other time in a Chiefs game until now. It's like they know something we don't know or that we're not supposed to know. And I wouldn't feel good about that. I just wouldn't feel good being around all those people. Like right now, there's nothing about that that sounds appealing. Like we've been to Chiefs games. You're shoulder to shoulder. You're high-fiving everybody. Like, that just doesn't sound appealing to me. I'm barely hugging the people that I know. Barely. I don't feel good about it. The NFL is considering requiring fans attending games this season to sign a liability waiver. The fact that they're pushing that waiver in front of you should tell you everything you need to know. Of I'm good. Hey, once we figure this stuff out, we get a better handle on it. Hey, I'm cool to come back to the games. I'm not saying never go to the Chiefs game again. I'm just saying week one, I wouldn't be out there. I don't think it's safe. I don't think it's in good hygiene to go out there. I wouldn't be there. Coming up next, Boston Sports Talk Radio is predictably on the other side of Cam Newton. I'll explain what I mean coming up. So drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get back into the Chris Jones situation. And if you had a time machine, if you could hop in the DeLorean and realizing that signing Frank Clark would mean that the Chiefs wouldn't have Chris Jones long term, would you still make that trade? We'll talk about that coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. So we've been kind of keeping an ear on Boston Sports Talk Radio this week as they signed Cam Newton. It's been the top story in the NFL. Sometimes some places are just always on brand.
The dapping, the Superman in, all the celebrating and showboating on the field. They don't want you doing that here. So Cam Newton has celebrated more than any player in the league maybe over the last decade. Something as simple and innocuous as that. Think he'll be able to contain it?
I think Bill's going to give him a little latitude on that one. That's what I think.
I hope he doesn't. I like that about the Patriots. I like that. I like that they don't ride each other like ponies after games or after touchdowns or whatever. I like that they don't waste our time.
Yeah, I don't know. This guy's a different kind of cat, though.
No dice. No dice on the Superman.
I bet you they allow it, or I bet you. Put it this way.
That would piss me off.
I shouldn't say allow it because I'm not. I don't think Bill will, quote unquote, sign off on it.
So wait a minute.
He'll do it, though.
They won't let Dorsett ride Gronkowski like a pony. Rob Gronkowski. Hall of Famer, hugely important to multiple championships. He can't screw around, but Cam Newton can?
He's the quarterback.
Oh, feh.
He's the quarterback.
Ah, oh, please.
Gronk's a tight end.
Don't tell me that.
Shut up and block.
I don't want that.
Shut up and block.
Shut up and take the next snap.
Hold on. Help me understand just one thing, because maybe I'm not understanding. What really frustrates me about Patriots fans, they treat the rest of us like we don't watch the games and the rest of us like we don't have the internet. The Patriots rein Gronk in? They can't be serious, right? The same Gronk that in the offseason had a cruise where singles could go with booze? That Gronk? They rein that Gronk in? The same New England Patriots that when one of their tight ends scored was making it rain after touchdowns? That happened, right? Aaron Hernandez, like, I didn't make that up. Aaron Hernandez, when he scored, I'm not even talking about the off-the-field stuff with Aaron Hernandez. I'm talking solely on the field. Aaron Hernandez wasn't doing all these same things. Aaron Hernandez went to the Patriots and asked for a trade, and they were like, nah, keep playing. What are they talking about? That's why I'm starting to think, the issues with Cam are not about his play. People don't like the way Cam acts, which is silly to me. Cam's never done anything. Sure, I didn't like the pouting after the Super Bowl, and I was critical of Cam. Hey, if you're going to do all that talking during the season, then when you lose, you got to have that same level of accountability. Yeah, sometimes I think Cam dresses crazy, but it ain't bothering me. If Cam wants to go to Nordstrom's and buy all those clothes and look goofy, that's on Cam. That ain't got nothing to do with me. But now let's not make it seem like the Patriots is this military organization where everybody's. They signed Antonio Brown last year. They signed Antonio Brown. Why do they act like this? Like we don't have the internet. Like we don't have this understanding. It's dumb. Makes absolutely no sense to me why they do this with the New England Patriots. It's silly. It's absolutely silly the way they act.
First off, the guy calling it dapping. Maybe the most underrated part of that cut. He called it dapping. At least give it its proper name. Secondarily, I did a quick Google search. LeGarrette Blount got in a fight after a touchdown once because he spiked it in a Bengals player's face. Was that not respecting the game? Was that not doing it the Patriot way? How come when Cam does something, and by the way, Cam gives a football to a little kid in the stands after every touchdown they ever scored. He's an upstanding guy by every measure.
The issue to me
he celebrates it's a problem.
Yeah, to me the issue with Cam, and there's a lot of issues. The issue with Cam is we have this idea of how quarterbacks are supposed to act. I'm not saying this as a negative. Your quarterback is supposed to act like Patrick Mahomes. Your quarterback is supposed to act like Russell Wilson. And there's nothing wrong with having that personality trait. There's also nothing wrong with Cam's personality trait. I think Cam's fun. I like when Cam scores a touchdown and does the dances. I like when Cam does the Super Bowl or the Superman celebration. I like it. I don't endorse everything Cam does, but I don't have an issue with the celebration. And I realize how many other players in the NFL do it and we're cool with it, but now we have an issue because the quarterback does it? Never makes any sense to me. It has never made any sense to me why that's the case. More people continue to be outrageous in relation to Cam Newton.
Former MVP doesn't really mean much to me unless the former's like 6 months ago. You know, typical Patriots waited till the market had dropped. I think we all need to be cognizant that Cam Newton, not one, not two, not three, 4 months, which is what, 125, 30 days, and no one signed him. So that tells you what people thought of Cam Newton, including his coach for 10 years, who's in Washington, who traded for his backup. So I guess compared to Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer, okay. But I guess my take is I'm not convinced he A, starts, and even B, makes the team. And I say that because of my expertise, the business of sports, the way I read the reports, forget about all the incentives, that it's kind of a make good contract.
The only way I can see Cam Newton not making the team is if he's hurt. That's the only way. And if he's hurt, then he's probably done. He's probably done. You didn't play pretty much all of last season, banged up, looked banged up when you did play. You are now supposedly fully healthy. You don't make the team where the other two quarterbacks are Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer. That sends up a big red flag. And only one team gave you an offer. It's not like you had seven offers and then you picked the Patriots. They're the only team that seriously had conversations about acquiring you. So if Cam doesn't make the team for the New England Patriots or this situation doesn't work out, I don't know if Cam continues playing in the league. I could be wrong. I don't know if Cam continues to play in the league. And I think there's reasons to be skeptical about Cam. A lot of reasons to be skeptical. The health. It's been a while since we've seen Cam be a productive player in the NFL. It's been a long time since that MVP year and he was dominant. And as his body continues to break down, as he continues to get older, is he going to be the same running threat? That's the biggest question I have about Cam. We know exactly what he is as a passer. He's not going to be any different. He's going to complete 62% of his passes. He's going to throw for 3,500 yards and probably throw for 20 touchdowns if it's a normal year for him. But is he going to give you the 700 yards on the ground? Is he going to continue to be arguably the best running threat from the quarterback position in the history of the NFL? If he does these things, then he'll be a good quarterback this year, and he'll be productive, and he'll get a next contract. If he can't run the ball anymore, I don't know what Cam's value is to you. He's never been strong enough as a passer to carry you, ever. So if he can't run the ball, if he's not healthy enough to do that, and we know that Belichick will find an offense and a system that will highlight his skill set, if it can't work in this situation, it's fair to say that it's over. But I've never thought for a second he wasn't making the team. If he's healthy, he's a starter. And he's one of the better starters in the NFL, certainly in the AFC, if he's healthy. It's just that if he's healthy is a major question mark. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up, if we could hop in our hot tub time machine, would you still make the trade for Frank Clark, knowing that it might mean the Chiefs will be unable to sign Chris Jones? I'll answer that question next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.